know someone that needs to tame their temper? You have tried to help them overcome the cycle of destructive reactions and explosive responses, but you just don't know how to help them? If you know someone or you yourself have an issue with anger, stay with us. That's today.
Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy, and in this program, Chip continues his series, Relationships Under Pressure, by revealing a truth that has the power to loosen the grip of anger on your life. Just before we get started, let me say that by the end of this message, you may want to listen again or send it to a friend. So I'll be back to let you know how to do that. Now with this message, why we all struggle with anger, here's Chip.
Anger is a secondary emotion. Why we all struggle with anger. I have to start, but I got to tell you a story. It's a true story, unfortunately. But I'm studying and I'm preaching this material for the first time ever. So all week I'm studying. It happens to be about a Tuesday night, and I'm preparing for this. And all I can tell you, I won't give you all the details, but have you ever had one of those days where you just felt beat up? I mean, you know, this phone call, and this person complains, and you get a bad look from someone, and this was planned, and it didn't come through, and beat up. Kind of the projects weren't going well. It wasn't bad. No one treated me terribly. But I had one of those moments inside where I just couldn't wait to get home. And at our house, we ate dinner at 5:30, and I just made that a practice that apart from a very rare exception, we just ate together. But now and then there would be something that, you know, a big meeting, and so I wouldn't. And so it was about 9 o'clock, and I'm driving home, and I'm thinking, I just cannot wait to talk to Teresa. And I don't have anything big to say. And I mean, if I was really honest, I want to walk in the door and go, oh, honey, it's so good to see you. How'd your day go? Is everything okay? I mean, that's really, unconsciously, that's sort of what I'm wanting. And then Ryan was sort of a real young guy back then. He was about in a senior year of high school, and he always wanted to, you know, play some ball or talk or goof off. And, you know, Annie was this little, you know, cute girl, about 10, 11 years old or so. And so in my mind, I'm going to go home and I'm going to see him. And I don't know what happened. I walk in the house. It's like 9:30. It's dark. I mean, the whole house is dark. I don't know if everybody had a big day, a bad day. And so I'm thinking, well, Teresa's probably laying in bed quietly waiting for me to walk in to say, oh, honey, how did your day go? So I walk in. I'm waiting for that. And I hear, you know, that rhythmic breathing. So, okay, plan A doesn't work. I'm going to go to plan B, Ryan. I mean, he's 17 years old. It's 9:30. Are you kidding me? The kid can't be asleep. What, do you have a hard practice? He's gone. Well, Annie's already been gone. All I can tell you is I just bolted to anger. And I was mad. And, you know, I think I, you know, made some popcorn, got a glass of orange juice, 45 minutes of ESPN. I worked really hard today, kind of bummed out. And now, I didn't know I was mad. Okay? I just felt something's wrong. I didn't know. And I went to bed. And there's some verses about going to bed when you don't know you're mad. It doesn't get better. It grows. But a disconnect occurs. Often, you have emotional feelings and respond in ways. You make no connection. I had no idea. So I get up the next morning, amazingly, in a bad mood. Imagine that. So I can still remember. I can picture it right now. I'm coming around the corner. As I walk out, Annie's coming out of her room, little 11-year-old. I look in there. Annie, make your bed. Dad, I just got up. Annie, don't talk back. Make your bed. Honey, Aunt Teresa goes, honey, she just got up. Look, hey, I'm the father of this house. You know? Then Ryan comes out. Hey, Ryan. Yeah, you had your quiet time yet? Hey, did you do your chores yesterday? Hey, Dad, I haven't even brushed my teeth. Hey, son, don't talk back to me. And so I walk into the kitchen. Teresa's, you know, doing some stuff for breakfast. And so what happened to you? What do you mean what happened to me? Well, you just seem really out of sorts. Well, you know what? If I'm going to get criticized all morning, I'm just going to go ahead and go to the office. And literally, I walk out the door. Now, I didn't scream. I didn't yell. I didn't slam the door. This is a Christian anger, all right? So I go and I get in my car, and I slam the door, okay? And I start it, and I get ready to pull out, and then I'm just thinking. Literally, I'm studying all this stuff. Anger is a secondary emotion. It's like the red light on the dashboard of your soul. It tells you something's wrong under the hood. Chip, what are you going to do with this? And I'm thinking, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee and get out of here. Chip, that's not what you're supposed to do, and that's not what you're going to tell people this weekend, is it? No. I literally sat in my car with the car running for 10 minutes in this moment of, really, what's wrong? Now, especially for men, now I'm not going to put you other guys on the hook, but at least for me, it's hard for me to admit, oh, I feel sad and disappointed because my wife wasn't awake and give me the strokes that I really wanted. That sounds kind of like a weenie, you know? I feel hurt and rejected because my 17 or 18-year-old son wasn't awake to hang out with me. And I can't think of a good reason to be mad at my daughter, but she just is in the hall at the wrong time. And I sat there and I thought, now what am I going to do with this? And after 10 minutes, by the grace prompting of God, I turned off the car. I went inside. Teresa looked at me like, you know, I wonder if round two is coming, you know. And I said, honey, can I get just a minute with you? She goes, sure. I said, I realized I was angry. And she looked at me like, oh, rocket science. You're really coming along here, you know. And I said, honestly, I came home last night. I really had a hard day yesterday. I missed you. And I felt really sad and really disappointed. And it doesn't make sense. I felt rejected because you were asleep. And you didn't do it on purpose. I had these expectations, and I had this hurt. And I really needed to talk to you, and you weren't here. And I didn't know it, but I got mad. But it just felt too vulnerable, or like there's something wrong with me to admit that I was really hurt and feeling lonely. And I bolted to anger, and I went to bed with that. I just realized that in the car. And then I went to Ryan. I said, Ryan, you didn't do anything wrong. I mean, you're a great kid. I'm really sorry. And Annie, have a great day. Dad, it's too much to try and explain. That changed, literally changed, a process of the sanctification of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life when I saw anger is like a red light on the dashboard of my car. And what I realized is a lot of times what we do is we go, oh, wow. The red light's flashing. And so we stop the car, get in the trunk, get a hammer out, and smash the red light. That'll take care of that, right? Instead of what, when it's on the light of the dashboard, what do we know? Something under the hood is amiss. Something's wrong. In your notes, I tried to lay it out in a little more systematically. It's easier to be angry than to face the deeper issues of anger. Anger is not the problem, it is the warning light. We often cover our anger with when what's underneath is hurt, guilt, shame, powerlessness, betrayal, insecurity, rejection, dashed hopes, feeling trapped, hopelessness, helplessness, unmet expectations, envy, jealousy, resentment, pride, low self-esteem, failure, sense of worthlessness, loneliness, depression, worry, anxiety, pressured, stressed out, disappointment, remorse, exhaustion, fatigue, and grief. I mean, those are real things that every human being experiences all the time in life. And what I want to suggest is the great majority of the time, that's not what comes up on your radar. You get angry. Some of you, though, know that angry is illegal, so you stuff it. And you don't even know that those are the real issues. Some of you stuff it for a while because you're a Christian and you feel like blowing up is not very healthy. Then you blow up. Other people, you're eating because you're angry. Some of you are taking prescription drugs because you're angry. Some of you started off with a social glass of wine at night and now you have to have two or three. And you're covering stuff inside that God wants to heal and forgive and restore. We learned that we spew, we stuff, and we leak. But I want to tell you that anger is a secondary emotion, and we all struggle with it. It's the tip of the iceberg. There are many, many underlying causes of anger. I just read about 25 of them. But when you pull them together, you basically can come up with about three big categories. We get angry as a result of unmet needs. And I'm going to call that hurt. Because that's what it feels like. I just feel hurt. I had a need to talk. I had a need to get connected. I had a need for someone to come through for me. I had a need to be loved when I was grieving. The second is unmet expectations. And we'll look at each of these individually. And I just call that frustration. I expected people to be awake. I expect a friend to be available. I expect people to return my calls. I expect people to do what they said they would do. I expect people that love me to help me when I have a need. Right? When they don't, I get mad. And so do you. The third underlying cause is insecurity, when we're personally attacked or threatened. And so with that, what I'd like to do is I'd like to walk through each of those, give you some biblical examples, and I'll give you a tool for each one of these and how to deal with it so God can use your anger to help you instead of make you a prisoner. So with that, let's look at hurt, real or perceived unmet needs. Notice Proverbs 19:3. A man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. Haven't you seen this? People make stupid, bad, terrible decisions, and then when life falls apart, they shake their fist at God. How could you do this to me, God? Because it's too scary to admit their own guilt, their own lack, their own culpability, and take responsibility for their bad behavior. Notice Proverbs 27:4, it says, anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? So he pictures anger as this storm and it's cruel, but he says there's something behind it. Jealousy is rooted in hurt. Jealousy is the fear of losing someone. The rejection we feel when affection or attention or honor or money goes to someone else that we think belongs to us. And when I feel that, when I feel like, well, my kids need to be giving me this attention, or I should have got credit for that, and I start to get jealous. Let me show you that biblically. Let's look at a quick picture in Scripture with regard to the whole issue of jealousy here. Joseph brothers, okay? You know the story. You have the youngest son at this point, and Genesis 37 to 39 is the long story. And we pick it up in verse 4. It says, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. So you have a father who is showing partiality. He gets the nice coat. He gets the easy job. He gets all the attention. You have the other brothers over here, and what are they feeling? They feel hurt. They feel rejected. This isn't fair. So they go to their father and say, you know, Dad, I've been reading a couple good books on parenting, and I just really want you to know that this type of behavior is going to be unhealthy for Joseph, for us, and for you as a father. And what I want you to know, what do? They bolt to anger. And so what they do is this is what we do. They take their anger and their jealousy, that's the root cause, out on not the object of it, but on the person who's receiving the attention. Isn't that interesting? They displace their anger to a safer object. Why am I yelling at my kid in the hallway for not making his bed? Because I bolted to anger, and I'm going to take it out in a safer place. Joseph brothers, the lament psalms are, sometime read these with a little less sanctified view of how wonderful David and the psalmists are. 25% of all the psalms are someone whining and complaining to God. But you know why they're so raw? They don't cover up their anger. David loves God with all of his heart. Why have you forsaken me? What's the deal? This isn't fair. The enemies are this. You anointed me king. I'm hiding in caves. I'm dodging spears. I don't get it. I loved you. I risked my life. I risk my life and I'm out doing your work and I come back and my kids and wife and everyone, they've been taken away and now I got to go fight. Where are you, God? I'm depressed. Why does my soul, where is the living God? And he pours out his lament. And when he's really honest with his emotions in almost every lament psalm, yet thou art enthroned on high, O God. You are the faithful one. And he'll get perspective and he'll look back. You're the one that delivered us. You're the one who's done this. You're the one who's done this. But he takes the raw emotions of his anger and he gets down to what the real issues are. And then he gets back and gets God's perspective and then he responds differently. Some of us don't feel like it's safe to share with God our anger and our hurts and our frustrations. And all I want you to see is that underneath your anger often, it really is hurt. And the tool is what I call a I feel message. I shared that Therese and I had a lot of struggles and we went to counseling and we paid a lot of money to give you a lot of help later. And we didn't know how. So when she got angry, she closed down, she stuffed, and I leaked. It's not a good combination. And so we went to this counselor, and he realized you guys can't, you know, you can't resolve anger. And when you do, you attack each other, which is not good either. And we did it in real godly ways. I mean, you know, we weren't throwers and shouters and screamers and cussers. But you know what? It just tore us apart. And so on a 3x5 card, he wrote, I feel dash when you dash. And we put that 3x5 card on the refrigerator, and he taught us, this is how you communicate your hurt or your anger. And it goes something like this. I feel hurt when you pay more attention to the kids than me. I feel disappointed when you don't come home for supper and don't call. I feel rejected when I want to be physically close to you and you shut down emotionally. I feel angry when you shout and yell when we talk about a sensitive issue. And for 2 years, that was on our refrigerator. And we learned to say, I feel messages to one another. And God really used it. And he used it in an amazing, amazing way. And I would like you to think about who might need to hear an I feel message from you. When's the last time you really got angry with someone or something, and as a result of our time already, you realize you kind of stuffed it, or you sort of spewed, and that really didn't work very well, or you find yourself joking about the same thing, you know, a little sarcasm, little barbs, and I'd just like you to think about what would it be like? What's the real issue? What's behind it? What really bugs you? Why are you mad? Okay, the red light, it's anger. But what's underneath that? Who hasn't come through for you? And God wants you to know he wants to use your anger for your good. Anger is a secondary emotion. One of the primary causes is hurt. We see it from Joseph's brothers. We see it throughout the Psalms. And I want you to just stop right now, okay? Close your eyes. I'm going to ask a question and let's just a quick little exercise. Father, right now, I ask you to bring to mind a person or a situation in the lives of the people in this room where they have been hurt. And I'd like you to right now just practice, visualize in your mind what it would look like. And it might be a phone call because they're too far away, but what would it look like just to say, I feel hurt. I feel left out. I feel wounded. I felt disappointed when you didn't invite me to the wedding. When you fill it in. You got it? And Father, I pray that you would grant us the grace and the courage to not bolt to anger, but to realize that we're human. And as humans, we get wounded and hurt. And we don't want the wounds to fester. And we don't want resentment or bitterness or anger to cause a root of bitterness and many be defiled. Help us to have the courage to deliver a loving, kind, I feel message to get the issue on the table and to speak the truth in love. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And Chip will be back in just a minute with his application. Chip's message today is from his series, Relationships Under Pressure, Keeping It Together When the World's Falling Apart. Now, in this series, you'll learn common lies we all tend to believe about ourselves and others, lies that wreck relationships. You'll discover the causes of conflict and get practical help for restoring damaged relationships. If you or someone you know could use a little relationship wisdom, well, this series is for you. To see more detail or to order this set of messages called Relationships Under Pressure, just tap Special Offers on the app or visit us online at livingontheedge.org.
I'll be right back in just a minute with some final thoughts about today's message. But you know, in light of the things that we talked about today, I just want to acknowledge that some of the most painful conflicts and difficult relationship experiences we have is with our adult children. No matter how much you love God, no matter how good your family is, when our children become adults, things change. Yes, they're to honor us, but they don't obey us anymore. And we go from, you know, when they're small to telling them what to do, to negotiating when they're teens, and then we launch them, and then a lot of things change. Of all the things we've heard at Living on the Edge, in terms of where are the needs, we've heard over and over, will you help us with our adult children? Such conflicts, with such changes in values, such problems that people don't have answers to. That's why I teamed up with parenting expert Jim Burns to create a resource called How to Navigate Life with Your Adult Children. Jim and I discuss principles that will empower and equip you as a parent when you struggle with those delicate relationships when your kids are now adults. We're going to talk about control issues. We'll talk about when to speak and when to keep your mouth shut. This is a resource I think that's really going to help you.
Thanks, Chip. Well, one of the most fulfilling gifts we can enjoy as parents is a great relationship with our adult children, where we respect and enjoy each other so much that we actually look forward to spending time together. So the whole aim of this brand new online video course called How to Navigate Life with Your Adult Children is to give you the practical tools you need to successfully build those kinds of relationships with your kids. It's absolutely free. It's 6 sessions with Chip and Jim Burns, and you can do them at your own pace, whenever you want. So I hope you'll tap Special Offers on the app or go to livingontheedge.org and take advantage of this great new resource. You're going to be glad you did.
In today's program, the big idea, I mean, the whopper is that anger is a secondary emotion. You do not have an anger problem. Anger is the tip of the iceberg. Underneath of it, there are 3 major reasons. There may be more, but there's 3 major reasons, and we dealt with the first one. We talked about unmet needs, or when we're hurt. The second is unmet expectations, and the third is a basic insecurity issue, and we'll deal with that in our next broadcast. But when you have unmet needs, you get wounded or you get hurt, and so the tool is to say an I feel message. Now, what we tend to do is we get into oughts and shoulds and demands and arguments, and I talked about the I feel message. Here's your application for today. Who in your world, who in your relational network, a mate, a child, a boss, a friend, who needs to hear, I feel hurt, I feel frustrated, I felt offended when you, and you actually do an I feel message. You might get with a friend and practice a little bit, but I will tell you, when you can begin to get your hurts and wounds on the table without attacking people, God is going to heal relationships. Are you ready? Are you willing? Give that person an I feel message sometime this week.
Just before we close, we want you to know that as a staff, we ask the Lord to help you take whatever your next faith step is, and we'd love to hear how it's going. Would you take a minute and send us a note or give us a call? Either one is easy. Just send a quick note to Chip at livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, until next time, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.